Welcome to the Newlyn Rock Leadership Effectiveness Podcast, hosted by me, Kate Thomas. This podcast is packed with practical tips and expert views to unlock the leadership effectiveness in you and your organization. My name is Kate Thomas, and I'm a leadership effectiveness expert and the founder of Newlyn Rock, a consultancy dedicated to focusing on increasing leadership effectiveness for talent-savvy companies and individuals. In this podcast, I will share my experience of supercharging leadership performance and business results with you. Join me and the best thought leaders for topical discussions and talent-centric insights. For today's episode of the Leadership Effectiveness Podcast, we're spending time focusing on the strategic importance of incorporating assessment when you're identifying your leaders for the future. And today I am speaking with Charanjeet Singh. He has close to three decades in the area of management consulting, so highly knowledgeable and recognized in business and organizational transformation, performance improvements, and value creation. His clients, they've ranged between governments, sovereign wealth funds, PE firms, financial institutions, to global multinationals and SMEs. Now the CEO of Quantum Step Advisory, which is a boutique management consulting firm, which focuses on human capital management across Southeast Asia. In addition to this experience, what Charanjeet also brings is one of the highest accolades possible within the coaching world, globally recognized as a master credentialized coach with the International Coaching Federation in the US. He's a professor of practice with Sialto University in Malaysia, a chartered companion of the Chartered Management Institute UK, and is presently the chair of the regional board of CMI Malaysia. So I'm absolutely thrilled to be joined by Charanjeet so we can really get under the skin of why assessment in an organization can mean the difference to strategic success. Welcome to the show. Well, I'm absolutely delighted to be joined and have your time, Charanjeet. Thank you very much for being part of the Leadership Effectiveness Podcast. We've had this discussion about you being part of this for some months. We're finally getting the time together.
Indeed. It's a pleasure to be here, Kate. And I've been looking forward to this opportunity to have a conversation and a discussion with you on a very important topic, which is around the assessment and the profiling and what have you. Yes, thank you for having us, Kate. Thank you.
Yeah, it is a very important one, and I suppose for you and I, it's a space that we've had the benefit of, I suppose, flying this flag on the importance of any type of assessment in an organization and the benefits that it brings to strategic decisions that, you know, your C-suite need to make. But in particular, as you know, I spend a lot of my time, most of my time, talking specifically about leadership effectiveness and how leaders can raise their game and come at their decision-making roles with a different lens, with an enhanced lens. And I'm curious, I mean, I'm keen just to dive straight in and get your perspective. You know, how do you see the world of assessment being aligned and being important to leadership effectiveness? What's the connection for you, if anything?
Yeah, it's a really good question, and thank you for asking that. So I think the first thing that comes across is why do we have this assessment to begin with? And let's look at the importance of that. And critically, the fundamental issue is around whether we have the right people for the roles that we have. And that's a job person fit discussion. And before we can even talk about a job person fit, I need to then ensure that I have the ability to either assess or to profile. I would like to use the term profile more. It's a little bit less in your face rather than assessment. When we do this profiling, it's to identify at a variety of areas, how close are you to the type of role that is being required What type of competencies are required for those roles? Do you have those competencies? Do you have those attributes that we're looking for? And if you do, great stuff. What can we do to further enhance them? And if you don't, no worries. What can we do to help develop these attributes or these competencies in this regard? So to your point around effectiveness, I think it's absolutely critical. We come to the table with the need to constantly improve ourselves. And there's a continuous learning agenda that we all as leaders bring to the table innately. But if I don't know what specific areas I need to improve upon, it becomes a little bit awkward. And that then will ultimately have an impact on the effectiveness that I have as an individual leader. Does that make sense, Kate?
It does. And so many of those points I want to kind of bring back and maybe, you know, talk through a little bit more. First one, love the fact that you are positioning this as profiling versus assessment. Yeah. And I agree with you. The assessment has this sort of harshness maybe in terms of maybe how it can be understood and misunderstood. Yeah. And so that piece around we're profiling you, you know, that profile, it's not a right or wrong profile. It's a profile to hear and see what shows up for you. Which brings me then to that part around, you know, we innately as leaders are looking to enhance ourselves, but then enhance ourselves for what? You know, I come across so many leaders that work tremendously hard. There is absolutely no question mark against their commitment, their tenacity, and everything else that makes them show up every day. But in that high pressure, busy world, I don't know, I find that they can also lose their way around that piece around what will enhance them. So this profile gives you insight. You're no longer shooting in the dark. You've got clarity on where it is you should dial up and equally what it is you should start to dial back.
Yes, absolutely. So just one step further in that discussion. It's always nice to have a profile, but I also would like to have a profile against what? And that's what the role is that we're looking at. Otherwise, we're just all over the place because I don't have a end game target that I should be looking for. And unlike an assessment where either you make it or you break it, and that's a type of feel that the term assessment gives to you, which is really not the case. You know, where else if it's a profile, it's generally this is who you are. And you know what? You are the best person that you are. The question now comes in is how connected and how fit are you for that potential role or the current role that you're playing at? And in order for us to talk about that, there's also some measurements, there's some competency requirements, there's some attribute requirements that should already have been thought about. And that links to the end game thought about the organization vis-a-vis its operating model, vis-a-vis its structure, vis-a-vis the vision that the organization now has to put forward. So if I start to interplay all of these factors, it's nice to talk about it at a big picture, but the moment we start talking about profiling, we take it down to the individual. And that's when it becomes a little bit more realistic. It becomes a little bit more hands-on. And having seen this profile, I now have a better idea of what can I do differently or what can I do better moving forward?
And as you're saying that, what's coming to mind for me is this, you know, I often describe being in the role that we have and when I'm working with leaders and I'm profiling them against roles, opportunities, I see it as a privilege and I also see it as a big responsibility. And as you're describing this, and as then you were describing it from an organizational perspective, the profile, I thought, wow, yes, it's a privilege and a responsibility, both sides, because what we then do is provide insight back to the organization on the for what and what does this tell us, but we're equally providing insight to the individual about themselves and where things might be going. What's your view when it comes to this privilege and responsibility? I mean, how does that roll?
Absolutely spot on. Absolutely spot on. And as you're talking about this, I'm reminded of the particular statement made by Spider-Man in that Spider-Man movie, by Uncle Ben on his deathbed, or you know, whatever, where he stated, "With great power comes great responsibility." And let me take it one step further. And that responsibility is to make a positive difference. We are here to make a positive difference as a leader. And that difference needs to be sustainable. That difference needs to be felt in whichever way. But more importantly, the difference needs to be in such a way that we carry people along with us on that journey, whatever the journey may be. There's a lot of research out there. There's a lot of writing where we talk about, you know, leadership. It's about bringing people along. It's not about you as an individual. And with that comes that perspective of responsibility and privilege. And you're absolutely spot on, Kate. I like the way you've raised that. For me, you're right. It needs to come along with the ability to make an impact, a positive impact at that. What is, I think, crucial is when we are looking at trying to make an impact, we are also then endeavoring to gauge where we are on this journey ourselves. And as the business unfolds, as the business evolves, roles will start to change, as you and I know. That initial role that you have when you are a startup is very different to the role that you have when you are driving a business growth, which is very different to the role you have when the business is at a maturity stage. The role is the same, but the impact that you're making changes. The question now comes in is, where do you as an individual sit with the competencies and the attributes that you bring to the table with these changing roles? And many times we fail to understand. If you think we're a good CFO, you think we're a good CHRO, great stuff, but the business has changed. You know, 5 years later, 4 years later, the business has changed. The fit for role still comes into play. And that's where the area around being responsible to carry this out the best way that we can, understanding where we are as individual leaders, comes into play. And the question then comes in, and I like your thought around privilege. It is a privilege. It is a privilege to be a leader. It is a privilege to be a leader of a business, to be a leader of people. And with that, it behooves you. And it is as of, it's not an entitlement. It is as of required that you need to go away and ensure that you are giving your very best. And I'm not for one moment saying that you're not working hard. We all are working hard. But what I am saying is, are we working to the type of gears and having those gear changes that is required to hit the outcomes expected of that role? Does that make sense, Kate?
Yeah, it really does. And as you're talking, I'm also thinking then from an organization perspective, that privilege and responsibility that we then have when we are on the side of profiling leaders and providing recommendations, to that point around the changing gears, to that point around where the maturity maybe of that organization from startup to growth to then maybe BAU, that means that there needs to be changing gears on how your leaders are showing up in those different phases, and or a review of who your leadership team are to make the right impact at the time of within the journey that you are on. So that strategic impact that the profiling and the assessment process then has on organizational success. Maybe we go there because there's quite a lot to share in that space.
Absolutely. And you're absolutely spot on. What now happens is when we talk about the changing demands, and I look at it as a changing demand of the organization. So what we had you know, in year one or year two is going to be very different to year four and year five as the organization evolves in this space. My going in is two sides. One, when the organization changes, immediately the roles change. When the roles change, the impact that their roles are going to have are also going to change. Question, is it purely competence or is there also a behavioral angle that comes into play as we profile this? Because you know what? If I take a DISC-like an approach, I don't want to have everyone who are dominating and who have a domineering approach. But I also, likewise, I don't want everyone to have a steady state or a conscientious type where we are plodding along. I also would like people who are influential. So that mix becomes very crucial to the relevance and to the impact that the leadership team will make in its totality. And you can't expect one guy or girl in this instance to exhibit all those behaviors at the same time, because it depends again on the circumstances there. However, if I have a team of five or six, eight people who are the senior leaders, who are the managers at the next level down, we can then count on these individuals to display, because that's their natural tendency. And that's where this profiling also helps. So it's making sure not only am I getting the best guy for the job or the best lady for the job or whoever, but I'm also going out there to get the person who is most ideally suited from a behavioral component, which is why the profiling is important. Okay.
Yeah, the behavioral aspect of what it is that we need now to drive the impact and the movement that fits what it is that we're striving for as an organization.
Yeah.
And I think organizations just instinctively know this, but potentially are unsure about how to go about it. So you can find yourself sticking with the same leadership team for longer than maybe you feel you should. But there's a bit of a fear sometimes around making changes. There's a fear around, or not just fear, but there is a time restriction. I don't have the time to go through this process. Yeah. And I don't want people to leave as a result of this process. You know, the ripple effect. So I suppose my next question is around how you have supported organizations in this vein so that they feel the confidence that this is actually, as you say, back to that positive situation. This is a positive situation.
Yeah. So you're right. I think with every exercise of this nature, there is some level of uncertainty that may creep in, and you're spot on there. As much as we would like to talk about the positive aspects and what have you, but there will always be some element of uncertainty. Now, our role, and this is the experience that I've had over the past decade and a half, two decades, specifically in this C-suite and a board level, our role is to ensure that there's a level of seamlessness. There's a level of understanding why this is important. Now, many people, leaders, when they come to the table, they are very focused on getting the job done. But because their focus is down on the nitty-gritty, it is a sort of an assistance that we then provide to consciously lift their eyes to the horizon, supporting the CEO, supporting the CHRO, supporting the members of the board. Let's lift our eyes to the horizon to talk about sustainability of the leadership team, sustainability of the type of interventions that we are having in play from a developmental angle. Now, that then consciously drives the discussion around, are we adapting as we are moving along? And you know what? There are some people who feel that they've come to the end of that particular journey on that particular role, and the organization is now transcending to another level. And you know what? I'm not cut out for the next tranche. And that's perfectly fine. There's no issue with that. Otherwise, you will set yourself up for failure because I'm taking on a role, I'm taking on a responsibility, which may not necessarily be what I am comfortable with, what I'm willing to push for. And therefore, that whole uncertainty comes in, and that then will have a trickle down to the way the team feels and the team is managed. And that doesn't augur well, neither for you as a leader nor for your team. But there are also some individuals who say, you know what, I am willing to change, I am willing to adapt, and that's perfectly fine too. The idea here is not about the individual, but it's about the organization. And you're right. Intuitively, the organization knows this. But you know what, Kate? We make the organization. We make the organization tick as leaders. So if we as leaders are not open to these discussions, it becomes a little bit difficult to have the organization evolve, knowing full well that there is an evolutionary step at play. So I think it behooves us as leaders to be matured enough to say, I like what the profile looks like. I'm comfortable doing what I am. However, the job now requires a slightly different aspect of me. Am I willing to do that? And if you're not, that's perfectly fine. Nothing wrong with it. So what do we now do to try and develop? Or is there another role that is more fitting for me within the organization? And that's a perfectly fine discussion too.
It sort of brings a point that I recently blogged about, in that the importance of transparency. So that this process doesn't become a closed door, you and the board, you and the CEO, you and the CHRO talking about everyone's profile and making decisions. Yep. It becomes a discussion with leaders so that they have transparency and they can also formulate their own aha moments on where they are, what they want, and what they're going to do next. Yeah. Then I think you come back to that earlier point on positive impact, positive solution.
Yep. Yep. So a great anchor, if I may raise this at this point in time, a great anchor is the area of succession. We talk about career pathing. We talk about self-centered, driven, you driving it yourself. However, I need to know what is it that I'm driving towards at a mid-level or a lower-level individual within the management hierarchy. If I don't have a level of clarity about what the future job looks like, it becomes that much more difficult for me to see a path for me in the organization moving forward. So when I do have profiling, and profiling is done across the board. In fact, we also do profiling when we bring in people at the new recruit level, because I'm looking at potential. So it's across the board, not only at leadership, but it's also at the you know, fresh out of university, straight out of school, proverbially, knowing full well what they have to offer, the type of behaviors that they have. And many times it's a revelation to these individuals about who they truly are. And that's an amazing opportunity to now say, you know, I've never done this before. And the number of times I suddenly hear, you know, Tarunjit, I've been at this for the last 15 years and I've never done something like this before. Wow, thank you so much for giving me this 82-page report or whatever the report is. I have now a lot that I can now understand about myself. Now I know why I behave in a particular fashion, because these are the motives, the social motives that are now playing out. I now understand the impact that I'm now creating, because these are the type of underlying motives that I have. And we can talk about motives on another day, but it's all part of profiling anyway. So to your point, I think there is a clear need, if we are looking at succession planning, if we are looking at career pathing, if we are looking at career management in the true sense, where we are now putting people on the talent pool map. how we are now moving them along in a purposeful manner, in a manner that is very positive, not only for the organization's demands, but also for the well-being and growth of the individual. And this is where profiling comes into play. So if you bring that type of discussion in, it makes it more meaningful, a little bit more meaningful for the senior leaders to say, look, yes, I need to let people know where they stand because I see potential here, there, and you know, in these particular areas. But if they don't know, it becomes a little bit more difficult for me because I'm not able to gain that level of traction or the level of understanding or whatever the case may be. So you're right. It needs to be transparent. You're absolutely right.
And as you're talking that through, what I'm thinking of is this, the internal conversation, and let's kind of also get a bit real. This space that we're talking about, it costs. There is a budget that needs to be allocated to the work that we're doing here when we're profiling and when we're supporting the talent strategy conversation. But the way that you've just described the impact of the profile is that we are actually directly then linking it to the engagement factor of those working in your business. And we both know that engagement increases discretionary effort. And then we both know that discretionary effort leads to increased performance. And of course, increased performance leads to improved strategic outcomes. Yes. So there is a ripple effect when you invest it well, when you invest this budget well. It isn't just talking to a HR people agenda. It is talking to a strategic impact agenda. And I see that as something that not all organizations are fully aware of, and personally quite passionate about making that connection in the work that I do.
Yeah. So let me just take it one step further. And I like the way you've raised this. So I actually look at it as anything. You've rightly pointed out it's an investment and we are looking at returns. So if that is the case, including the way our personnel and our staff and our employee base and what have you are being looked at, why do we continue to use the term human resources? So I've stopped using that term. I am actually using the term human capital. It's about making sure that we are able to do stuff with the capital that are humans within the organization as best as we can, to allow for two sides, return on investments for the organization, but also investment in the development of the individual. So it's human capital management. And the moment we use, and I've seen that play out, so I no longer talk about human resources, we talk about human capital management. And the moment that comes into play, the willingness to want to make that dollar investment becomes a little bit more easier. Why? Because it's about the bigger picture. The same way as we do investment decision making for financial related interventions, we are doing the same thing. Now, the question then comes in is what type of matrices are we then going to be looking at? And I think like anything, you have either the direct line matrices in terms of the way my employee is engaged, the way my retention takes place and the likes. But you also have the indirect matrices where you're now talking about proxy measures that I can now start to embed to ensure that I'm able to capture things which we generally do not measure from a human resource perspective. But the idea is to lift that to a human capital management perspective.
It leads me to a question that I've been curious to know where you go. Now, if you were sitting in front of a client now that's saying, I'm considering this, what would be the tip you'd give them as they are about to move forward with it?
Sure. So my going in is we will not for one moment as an organization, you will not for one moment put down or sidetrack the area around risk. We want to have practices which are absolutely to the T to manage risk, to talk about governance, to talk about compliance, and lots of investment dollars and hours are spent in this regard. We will not for one moment go away and re-look at or to look at things around the way the financials are worked on. We will not go out there to spend anything less than what is required. Now, in the same vein, don't you think we need to spend that same type of investment effort and the investment dollars to ensure the human capital elements are well taken care of in a purposeful fashion? So my tip when people are thinking about commencing a profiling activity, my first thing is, why are we doing that? What is this all in aid of? So let's go back to basics and understand the bigger picture demands, understand the impact that we're trying to make. We get that done right, the profiling part of it comes naturally. Why? Because we have the right person for the right role, given the capabilities that the individual brings to the table, whether it's the behaviors, whether it's the attributes, whether it's the personality traits, the emotive aspects that the individual has. If I don't have that bigger picture clearly spelled out, we'll be shooting in the dark. And that's certainly not what we want to do. We want to be crystal clear with a maniacal focus that this is the reasons why we're doing this. And therefore, it becomes a non-starter. It is a non-issue, rather, about why we should use and why we should go down this profiling path.
That tip really makes sure and helps anybody in the talent strategy space considering this, link it to strategic impact and strategic outcomes. So it becomes a business conversation. And that is a very important part of this process in its entirety. Then thinking about anybody who has been asked to go through a profiling solution, or to be part of the one-to-one deep dive behavioral assessments. Yeah. You know, if you've been tapped on the shoulder, or it's been a discussion that you're having with one of your leaders and you've not done it before, any tip?
Now, I get it all the time. And my going in is, be who you really are. Do not go out there and pretend to be someone else, because it will show up. So be your natural self. If you are inclined to particular type of behaviors, you're inclined to particular types of thoughts, there are particular skills or there are particular competencies that you're good at, or that you may not necessarily be as strong as you would like it to be, that's perfectly fine. Be your natural self. Why? Because it is from that particular natural self profile, do you really know who you are? First thing. Second thing is, from that natural state that you are in, you will have a better feel of how you would like to see yourself develop. Don't worry about the organization. Let's talk about you. These are the areas that I would like to see an enhancement or an improvement or whatever the deal means. These are some of the areas that I would like to now tone down or dial down a little bit. This is for you. So treat it as a gift more so than a burden. Treat it as an opportunity to do things in a way where you've never done before, because, you know, more often than not, leaders who are mid-level, senior levels, they may or they may not. And guess what? Every 2 years, your profile changes, because you've got slightly more of an experience in a particular area. You've got more of a hands-on learnings that you've had. So your profile changes. So it's interesting to see, how have you been developing over the course of the last 15 to 20 years? Every 2 to 3 years, let's go through a profiling activity for yourself. And that's part of continuous learning, right? Lifelong learner.
What a beautiful way to invest in yourself. And I often say to leaders, and you know, you've experienced this, trying to put the time in the diary, and you'll often get a bit of pushback. How long? I haven't got time for that, really. Yeah. And you know, I use this phrase, be selfish. this is probably the first time in a long time that you have just sat there and invested in yourself, talked about yourself and made connections about yourself and nothing else, just you.
You're right. You're right.
It is your time to just be selfish.
Yeah, you're right. No, and the idea is twofold. If you don't know who you truly are, and these profiling activities will provide that, how on earth are you going to now identify those three or four or two or three areas that you're going to focus on for the next 18 months? Tell me. It's difficult. It becomes a catch-22. And we certainly don't want to go away, catching our or running after our tail. We want the ability to be very clear, very focused. And this is a great way to provide that level of clarity.
Brings me back to the discussion we had a moment ago about the responsibility.
Yeah.
So you mentioned about the responsibility of leaders, the responsibility of also checking in. Where am I at on stuff? That's just as important as keeping the diary full and honoring all of your commitments.
No, certainly, absolutely right. And if you don't spend time on yourself, nobody is going to spend time on you. I mean, it has to start from within, and yourself and the people around you as a senior leader. And if you don't get that done right, you know, there are other things that will then play out, which may not necessarily augur well. Spend the time, spend it well, spend it effectively. Understand where you're coming from. I have that background. I have that innate knowledge. I know where I would like to go to. Easily done.
It's a pleasure, Taranjeet. Absolute pleasure to hear you frame everything and wrap it up with an easily done, because I think in the way that you've described the importance of profiling to both the individual leader, the first time person into business, and then the importance of it in an organization, it certainly is framed in a space that this is very doable. Get the foundations right, and it all flows in the right direction.
Super. I'm glad I've been able to contribute a little bit to the podcast, Kate. I really thank you. Thank you for having me on this fantastic journey of yours, Kate. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Newlyn Rock Leadership Effectiveness Podcast with me, your host, Kate Thomas. If you would like more information on how I can help you or your organization maximize your talent and leadership effectiveness strategies, then reach out to me through my website, newlynrock.com.